We are concluding our midweek Lenten services as we move into Holy Week. And in these past several Wednesdays, we've been looking at the last moments of Christ's life with his disciples in the upper room. And the last few Wednesdays, we've been looking at something specifically called the High Priestly Prayer. And it's where Jesus, in the presence of his disciples, began praying to God the Father. And as he's praying to his Father, his disciples are getting to hear and experience what Jesus desires for them. But as we move through the prayer, and especially as we get to this last section, something pretty profound happens and is said. And I want to read this. Jesus says, "My prayer is not for them alone," them being the disciples. Jesus is saying, "My prayer is not for the disciples alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." Jesus, in the upper room on the night that he was betrayed, prayed for you. He was praying for you and your faith because of the message that the disciples would bring. And that is pretty profound to think about, to think about Christ. Not only did he die on the cross for you, but in this moment as he heads to the cross, he stops and he prays not only for his disciples, but he's actually has you in mind as he is praying. He knew you would be here. He knew that you would be part of his family. And he wanted this message to get to you, and it began with his disciples. Did you guys know that there are actually Lutheran nuns? Did y'all, any of you know this? Yeah, there is actually, this was news to me. There are Lutheran nuns. And I didn't learn this until I got out of the seminary. It started actually in Germany after World War II. There was a sect of women that formed a convent. And as sort of the core value of the convent was prayer and sort of dedication to God through that prayer. In prayer, you can see like Jesus is spending a lot of time in prayer during this last meal, and you can see how profound the prayer is as he's praying for his disciples and ultimately what it means for us. And what's really cool is this nun convent actually grew in popularity, and they actually have different sites throughout the world. And so actually one of these convents is in Arizona, and it overlooks the Grand Canyon. It's called Canaan in the Desert. And you can go there for retreats, and you can go there and experience the Lutheran nuns. And on this particular group in Arizona, the congregation I previously served at, there were several women that had gotten involved with this convent. They didn't become nuns, but they had gone to visit, they had experienced the prayer, they had experienced the spiritual moment with the Grand Canyon. And when they came back to St. Paul in Fort Worth, they brought back a deeper understanding of what prayer meant in terms of their faith and what it means for God's people. And so it's really interesting what you would see actually on any given day of the week. You would actually see some of the women walking around the property and praying over the church and praying for the people. And it kind of wove itself into some of the DNA. And so a lot of the members had a very strong idea and sense of what praying and the will of the Father could accomplish. And one of the things that I really distinctly remember is the senior pastor there. He would get there before God woke up. He would get there really early and on a Sunday morning. And he would actually pray over the pews before the members would sit in them. And he would pray that the people that came and sat in those pews would be blessed and come to know the love of Christ for them. And that was just so interesting to me, mainly because I would say that I did not have such a high view of prayer. Not that I disregarded it, but I just didn't have that same passion and love that I saw in some of the members there. And I think that's true for a lot of people. When you talk to members in the church, you have the people that when you mention prayer, their eyes light up, and it's like, it is the thing. And they understand how important it is to the faith. And then there's other people you talk to and about prayer, and they have a reaction like, yeah, I mean, I pray at dinner or the Lord's Prayer. But I think if you read the words of Christ and understand what this prayer is about, you understand and see the power of this prayer. In fact, when I first got here to Bethany, I remembered what some people had done in Fort Worth. And when the 242 service started, I was so anxious about it and whether people would connect with it that I went into the gym before that service and I found myself praying over those chairs for the people that would experience the gospel there. When I shared this at the 11 o'clock or noon service today, someone told me I should pray over these chairs too, so I might have to do that as well. But power in prayer is significant. What Christ is demonstrating for us is significant. And what's really amazing and cool is that he had you in mind, and that's what I find so amazing about this. But he continues, he said, he prays for those who will believe in him through their message, the message of the disciples, but he also prays that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. One of the other things Jesus is praying for is unity. He's praying for the unity of the disciples because honestly, if the disciples aren't unified, the message would never have gotten to us. At the moment Jesus was crucified and they scattered in fear and they experienced his resurrection, if they had different understandings about what was going on and who Jesus was and what he came to do, the second they began to go out and teach, everyone would have been confused, there wouldn't have been unity, and it probably would have fallen apart. And so Jesus desired that they would have a clear understanding of who he was and unity in that understanding. And the reality is Jesus praying for us in this prayer also prays for unity for us. And so, I mean, I ask you a couple questions. Do you think there's unity in the church? Yeah, maybe on Tuesdays, I don't know. I mean, not only do we find disunity within specific church bodies amongst people, but just look at the world we live in. Like, you can go to Bethany and hear what we believe about the gospel and hear what we teach and preach about Christ, and then you can go to another church down the street and they may say something completely different. Their understanding of who Christ is and what he does and what it means for us might just be slightly different. I mean, in fact, unity is such a low value even that if you dislike something a church stands for or get in a fight with a member or the pastor, do you have to reconcile and seek unity? No, just go to the church up the street. There's a risk to this because when there's disunity within the church, then people who don't know Christ can't see him as clearly because our message is not the same. And so we try. I mean, we really do. Churches have councils and meetings and they send all the smartest people and they hash things out and they may agree on the definition of a word. But we're trying. And we try because we understand what's at stake. And we try because, in part, Jesus calls for it. Prays for it. And so we seek unity. He said, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be the one, they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Again, just the importance of that unity. And Jesus prayed, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Jesus is praying that not only would his disciples be with him and experience his glory, the glory that he had before the beginning of the creation of the world, but he prays that for you too. That's the whole point of this, right? Jesus willingly went to the cross so that you could experience his glory and be one with him. And I get goosebumps thinking about it because it's incredible to think Jesus had you in mind when he said these words. And so as we approach Holy Week, may we remember these words. May we remember what Christ is calling us to, which is to unity and to experience his glory and to be able to understand more fully and appreciate our faith because of the faith of others. And may we be that voice that continues to proclaim who Christ is and bring others to the cross so that they may be one with him. And so we look forward together to the resurrection and the glory of the one to come. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.